All right, wonderful. Thank you, Brother and Mrs. Garner. And I kind of like Brother Garner kind of getting up there in the upper range. I like that. And appreciate the song and the hard work in preparation to minister to us in music. Look back here, I see Mrs. Villa back from Mexico. And you want to come give a testimony, Tina? No? Okay. Thought you might have something to say about spending a little time with the grandbaby and what's going on. She spent about 3 weeks, I guess, or so down with her daughter and son-in-law. And, you know, that was just, they're there. She actually went to see the grandbaby. So let's just go ahead and be honest about it. And so she was down in around the area of San Luis, down there for about 3 weeks, spending time down there. And it's good to see her back and here safely. And I hope you had a good time. I assume everything's going well down there in the ministry, and appreciate her going down, spend a little time with them. Church, I've chosen for our subject tonight as we move on with our studies and preaching along character under construction. I've talked to you a little bit about and made reference several times to the time and the day when I accepted the Lord, and I was in this auditorium. But I want to touch on something that really, how can I say this, that really advanced my progress in my Christian life. And I want to address the subject of hospitality. It really advanced my progress in my Christian life. I got saved and I came to church. But when I began to experience the hospitality of believers, that really pushed my wife and I forward. I want to talk to you about the harvest of hospitality. Romans chapter 12 and 1 Peter chapter 4. Would you please? Romans chapter 12 and 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, for those of you that may be new to the Scriptures, this thing of hospitality is it's part of being a Christian. It's part of the Christian life. It's part of the developmental process. Listen, when I got saved, I wasn't the most hospitable person, but as I've grown in Christ and as God has blessed and matured me, that I've grown to that area of my life, and I've grown into hospitality. You see, most people that are unsaved are not very hospitable people. They're very isolated, and we cannot afford to become that. In our Christian life, we cannot isolate ourselves from one another or from the lost world. And I want to share with you some things I think will help you. Most of the message tonight, there's not going to be point one, two, three. It's not going to be structured like that. It's basically going to be illustrations in the Bible and then personal illustrations. And I'll share some personal illustration with you here in just a moment. Romans chapter 12. Would you stand with me, please? Romans 12. And let's go up and... Let's go up and start reading in verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, look at verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints. And then I want you to underline this. He said, given to hospitality. Now, church, I want you to look right up here just a minute. Hospitality in the Christian life is a choice. You must choose to be hospitable. You see, it's easy not to be. It's easy to be a loner. It's easy to be a Christian hermit. All right? It's easy to become that. But that is not Christianity. Jesus did not portray isolation as a Christian. He portrayed hospitality as a Christian. It's one of the signs of a believer. And so notice there the phrase, it says, given to hospitality. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. And we're going to be reading in verse number... Let's jump up to verse number 8. Jump up to verse number 8. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Now listen, he's building to the next phrase. Use hospitality. Now in Romans 12, it says we're to be given to hospitality. And now it sounds like hospitality is part of the ministry. That it's part of ministering to one another. Because now the scripture says, use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, folks, I don't know about you. It kind of sounds to me like that this is not an option. God is saying, listen, if we're going to see a harvest, if the work of God is going to be built, if Christians are going to be matured, there's going to have to be the element of hospitality that exists among the church people and among Christians and among believers. Let me read you one other scripture. You don't have to turn there. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to read you verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1 and 2. Listen to what it says. It says, "Let brotherly love continue." Listen to verse 2. "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Now, folks, that word entertain, we don't use kind of interconnecting with ministry, but the word just simply means that we are to be welcoming or inviting to strangers. And when it means strangers, that means someone outside your comfort zone that may have a need. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, and I'm going to give you a personal testimony of hospitality and what it meant to me and my wife as young believers. Father, now bless us. Thank you for the privilege of being able to be at church. Open our heart and spirit tonight to what you would have for us now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Church, I think one of the loneliest character qualities in the Christian life is that of hospitality. Hospitality, and I want you to listen carefully, it's more than just friendship. Hospitality is more than just kindness. Hospitality is more than just respect. Listen carefully, hospitality is the practice. It's the action behind our charity. It's behind benevolence. It's the action behind our kindness, our friendship, our respect. Hospitality is the practice of receiving and caring for people, listen to me now, without reward. You see, hey, it's easy to be hospitable when there's reward involved. It's easy for us to go out of our comfort zone and reach out to people if we feel there's reward for us and recognition for us. But listen, whether there's any reward or any recognition, hospitality is receiving and caring for people whether there's any reward. Matter of fact, I find out, we're going to find in the scripture, that hospitality costs people something. It costs them to be hospitable. It costs them to care for people. It costs them to reach out to people. I was saved on December the 2nd, 1984. I've told you the story. I'll not go into that again. But the same family, remember the woman that tapped me on the shoulder? Same family. Couldn't have been 2 weeks after my wife and I, or after we had gotten saved or gotten in church, that they came to me and said, "Hey, would y'all be interested on coming over on a Friday night? We're going to have another couple over, and I'm going to cook some things on the grill, and then we're going to play some games. Would y'all, you and your wife, be interested in that?" And so we're like, "Well, yeah." I mean, we're kind of new to the church, and so they invited us to come over. We went over to their house, and they cooked some stuff on the grill. We had a great meal together. We played games when they had another couple over, and man, we had a blast. But let me tell you what that did. What that did is that connected me with somebody in the church. You see, folks, if we're not careful, we come to church and we don't even know who each other are. Listen, if it depended on some of your life, some of you have no idea what some of the people in this church even do for a living. Why? Because we don't know each other to the degree. We've got to be careful not to isolate ourselves. And what that did, that hospitality that was shown, in other words, that receiving and caring that was shown to my wife and I, it really helped us advance in our Christian life because it connected us with people in the church. Folks, listen, you've heard the old expression, people come in the front door and go out the back door. That, you know why that happens in the church? The reason that happens in the majority of churches in America today is because people come in, they spend some time, but they connect with nobody in the church because nobody's showing hospitality. Nobody's reaching out to go beyond just a handshake in the church. Hey, folks, listen, Christianity goes beyond what happens in this room tonight. It extends out. Your friendship, your kindness, your respect, your love for the brethren extends beyond what happens in this auditorium tonight. But that day, that connected me with some families in the church, and it made a difference. And listen, it wasn't long to where I was involved in ministry. It wasn't long to where we were, my wife and I were working in various areas. But you know where it all started? It started with salvation, and then it was extended through hospitality. You see, folks, we've got a lot of new folks in our church. We've got new families. I wonder how many of them have been approached by some of our folks that have been members of this church for a long time and even invited to do anything with them. We must not become disconnected with one another. Hospitality was a key. Let me give you some biblical illustrations of that, if I could. Remember, he was. The most hospitable individual in Scripture was the Lord Jesus Christ. Numerous times throughout His earthly ministry, He displayed hospitality. For instance, let me give you a couple of examples here. Remember an old boy named Simon the leper that nobody wanted to have anything to do with? And Jesus healed that old boy? Go check me out. In Mark chapter 14, you know where we find him in Mark chapter 14, verse number 3? He's sitting at the table eating lunch, eating dinner with Simon the leper, who nobody wanted to minister to. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with him. Nobody wanted to have connection or be seen with him because of who he was. And folks, I'm going to say something. I don't think this will offend anybody, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, sometimes we let a person's outward appearance cause us not to be hospitable to them. And I'm just going to say this, all right? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But we think because a person has a tattoo that they can, that you know what, that they're a totally different breed and that they don't we don't want to minister to them because that tattoo on their arm or on their neck or wherever it may be that they have one is a signal that, well, they must be a rebel. Help me out now. And so therefore they get isolated because we think that because they have a tattoo on their neck, or they may have 5 or 6 piercings in their ear or maybe one in their nose that they don't need to be ministered to and they don't need hospitality. Let me tell you something, folks. They may need it more than the average person because most of them that become Christians, I've sat in their house and told them, I said, preacher, I wish I never would have gotten all these tattoos. I wish I never had my head and ears and nose and eyes and pierced. They tell me all the time. But you know what? They think that those things ostracize them. And what I'm saying to you tonight, church, is this. We must not allow. Hey, listen, you can't get much worse than leprosy, my friend. And Jesus took time out to be hospitable to a man that, Brother Carlos, nobody wanted to be a friend with. Nobody wanted to invite him over for the afternoon, for an evening, for an afternoon meal. Nobody wanted to invite him out to Brahms or take him out to the park. Why? Because he's a former leper. He had a reputation. Nobody wanted to minister to him, but we find Jesus in his house. Let me move on. Luke chapter 19. Remember Zacchaeus? How many people you think wanted to go eat lunch with the person that stole from them? And yet we find Jesus telling him, come down. He says, for I must abide in thy house today. He went to his home. He sat down with him. And eventually, listen now, you know what hospitality eventually, what happened to Zacchaeus because of hospitality? He got born again because of it. Because the Lord was hospitable. He looked, he cared, he received him. No reward, but he got reward. He got salvation. You see, Jesus went to his house and ministered to him. Nobody wanted to invite Zacchaeus over. Nobody cared about him. But the Lord did. May I remind you, in John chapter 12, Jesus spent often, many times he spent time in the home of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Many times he would go to their home in Bethany, and there he would sit with them at a meal. They would break bread together. You see, not only was Lazarus, Martha, and Mary hospitable to Jesus, but he was hospitable to them. Was there a reward for them? Well, let me remind you that Lazarus was raised from the dead. And Jesus already knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he already knew that he would spend time in their home. You see, folks, what I'm saying to you is you never know what God's going to do by just showing an act of kindness and an act of hospitality towards someone. Now, folks, listen. Hospitality will never replace door-to-door soul winning. Hospitality will never replace going after the souls. But we're talking about something in addition to this, in addition to going after people. So Jesus spent time in the home of Simon the leper and Zacchaeus the tax collector and Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. I want you to look at another one. Go to John chapter 21. Let me show you another act of hospitality that Jesus displayed. Go to the Gospel of John and look in chapter 21 in verse number 9. Remember the backslidden disciples? I go a-fishing, Peter says, and some of the disciples said, oh, we go with thee also. Remember that? Remember Peter's out there fishing, barely got any clothes on? That's what backsliding will do to you. It's what getting away from the fellowship of believers will do to you. He went back to the fishing business. So he's out there fishing, and guess who shows up? The Lord shows up. You know what he's about to extend to some backslidden disciples that were once churchgoers that now were out of church and out of fellowship? You know what he extended to them? Hospitality. Let me show you what he did. And by the way, you'll find out that a lot of hospitality in the Scripture is surrounded by food. Do check me out. It is. Almost without exception, it's surrounded by a meal. There's something about eating a meal together. Look in John 21 and verse 9. As soon then as they were come to land, remember they realized it was Lord, they come to the shore, they saw a fire of coals there up, here it is, and fish laid their own in bread. I told you. Even Jesus, when he showed hospitality, presented food. And Jesus said to them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And they, in verse number 11 says, they drug them to the net to shore. Look at verse 12. And Jesus saith unto them, now listen, here's the hospitality. What did he tell them to do? Come and dine. Wait a minute, did he say, y'all come and dine? Y'all dine over there, and I'm going to dine over here. No, he said, come and dine, and none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. In verse 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Now listen, what was their spiritual condition? On a scale of 1 to 10, would you say probably somewhere 5 or less? Yeah, their spiritual condition wasn't the best that it had been. But Jesus didn't allow their spiritual condition to dictate whether he was going to be hospitable or not. And folks, listen to me. I'm just going to be honest with you. If we're not careful, that's how we grade this. We grade our hospitality based on the spiritual condition. And if people are in tip-top shape of spiritual condition, then you can come have a steak with me. But if you're not, you can't. Amen. We might as well say amen there because it's the truth. And that's how we grade whether we're going to be hospitable or not, based on the spiritual condition of a person. And then if we're not careful, again, I've already mentioned sometimes the outward appearance of people as well sometimes will dictate that whether or not we're going to be hospitable. But did you notice Jesus showed hospitality to a leper? He showed a former leper. He showed hospitality to a thief, a tax collector. He showed hospitality to Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, who were friends. And then he showed hospitality to disciples. Did you notice he covered the whole gamut? He covered people who were right with God, and then he was hospitable to people that weren't necessarily right with God. But I don't find anywhere in the Scripture where it says that we're to be given to hospitality or use hospitality, that we're supposed to grade people and decide who we're going to be hospitable to and who we're not. We're supposed to have the gift and the ministry of hospitality. Why do we do it, folks? There's a harvest there. It's a way to connect families and people with one another in the church. Take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 10. Let's look at a New Testament illustration and an Old Testament illustration. I'll make a few applications and we'll be done. All right? Luke chapter number 10. I love this story because it's so many applications that you can use in Luke 10. Now, for sake of time, we're not going to read everything. You'll recognize it. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, and he was stripped of his raiment, in verse 30, and wounded, and they wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So we know the story here. And remember, we know the story that a priest went by, he saw, he did nothing about it. A Levi went by, he saw, he did nothing about it. And then, listen now, in verse number 33, but a certain Samaritan. Stop. On a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think Samaritans graded out when it came to Jews? Do you think they graded pretty low? I promise you they graded low in the eyes of the Jewish people. Because, you know what, they saw them as lesser human beings. But yet, did you notice the person that responded? The priest didn't respond. The Levite didn't respond. Guess who responded? The person that didn't think that anybody, or that he could be of benefit to anybody, and he's the one that responded. Don't, and you say, what's the application there? Don't ever think that you can't be a blessing and be hospitable to somebody. You say, well, I don't have a lot of money. You know what? Don't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot to show hospitality or care or receive someone without reward. And in this story, did you notice here, it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. I want to point out a few things here, if I could, that I think probably is the greatest display of hospitality by one person outside of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And I think, church, there's several things that I notice here that I think motivated this Samaritan to hospitality toward this injured man. The first one, if you'll notice there, the Scripture says he came where he was, and when he saw him. Now, let's just stop time out here and think about this. The reason that maybe hospitality is absent in some of our Christian lives and some of our Christian ministry is because we're never at church enough to find out who's got needs. We're never around Christian people enough to find out who needs some hospitality. And folks, that's the reason it's important to be at the house of God, if for nothing else, to come to be a blessing to people. Because I promise you, the reason you're here tonight is because somebody was a blessing to you. Somebody cared about you. Somebody showed some hospitality to you. You say, yeah, preacher, I'm in church today because of an ice cream cone. Well, glory to God. There's some that's going to stay members of this church because I gave them a Snicker bar this morning. But he saw the need. Now let me say this, church. You can't see the needs of people if you isolate yourself and you're never around people. You can't find out what the needs are and see and hear and listen. Sometimes people, well, let me just say this, most of the time people aren't going to just come out and tell you, you know what, I need help. Most people aren't just going to come out and do that. But you know something? It's amazing when you're in church. It's happened to me many times, even while I've preached. And I'm preaching there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, listen, you need to contact that person right there as soon as church is out. And I've gone to them, and I've talked to them, and listen, they probably would never have come to me. And listen, I was able to be hospitable because the Spirit of God led me to speak to them. But listen, most people, if you're away from church and you're away from the people of God, how's the Holy Spirit going to speak to you like He needs to and like He desires to when you're out and you're away from people and we isolate ourselves? You see, this Samaritan man, he not only came to where he was, he saw him. He saw the need. How can you be given to hospitality if you limit your exposure to God's people? Oh, by the way, or if you limit your exposure to lost people. See, we must make ourselves available for God to use us in these areas. So the first thing that I see that motivated him to hospitality was he saw the need. And folks, I don't know about you, but that's one of the reasons I love to come to church, because I love being around people that are hospitable. I love to be around people that want to minister in that area because there's a harvest in it. But I want you to notice the second thing that I see here. Not only did he go where he was and he saw him, but did you notice it said, and he had compassion on him. So not only did he see the need, here it is now, he felt the need. He felt the need. You see, compassion has, it said to, that compassion is being able to feel the want and needs of others. You say, how do you do that? That's where the Spirit of God comes in. And the Spirit of God moves your spirit to minister. He moves your spirit to reach out in hospitality toward other believers and maybe even toward a lost person. Might be your next door neighbor. You say, oh, preacher, I can't have my next door. I can't be hospitable to them. Well, why not? Don't mean you have to go out drinking, smoking with them, does it? But if you find out when their birthday is, would it be okay to maybe make them a birthday cake? Would it be okay when you find out, you know what, maybe they're going through a rough time? You know why we don't know whether our neighbors and what's going on? Because we never talked to them. Just like some never talked to anybody at church. I mean, listen, by the time I say amen and the music starts, man, get out of their way because they're heading for the car. You see, this man, this Samaritan, he was hospitable because he saw the need. He was around him. He went to him. He saw it. And then he felt the need. And to be able to feel another's need is to know that person. You ever talk to somebody and you can feel their hurt when you talk to them? Or have you ever talked to somebody and you can feel their joy when you talk to them? Because it comes out in how they express themselves. You know what? You talk to somebody long enough, I promise you'll find out that they have needs. You'll find out when you talk to people long enough and you converse with people long enough, they'll share their heart with you. This is where friendship and kindness enter into the picture, church. So what motivated this Samaritan man was he saw it, he went there, he saw it, and then he felt the need. But look at verse 34. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an end. Now here's the third thing. Not only did he see the need, not only did he feel the need, notice what he did. He took care of the need. He took care of him. Listen, he didn't go to the church and say, hey, listen, can you loan me $100 so I can take care of this person? No, he took care of it out of his own pocket. Remember I told you that hospitality many times cost you something? Folks, listen, I hope you never fall in love with the almighty dollar. That you love money so much that you can't afford to invest it in somebody else. You see, he took care of the need. See, he was involved emotionally with this because he showed compassion. He was involved physically because he went to him and bound up his wounds and poured oil in and set him on his own beast and then brought him to the inn. All of that's physical involvement. You know, people aren't just going to show up at your house, knock on the door and say, listen, can you be hospitable to me? You know how they're going to get there? They're going to get there because you're going to have to get involved. You're going to have to invite them. You see, he was involved not only emotionally, he was involved physically. Listen now, he was involved financially. Did you notice that when he got to the inn, he pulled out, he took out 2 pence and gave the guy. He says, now listen, if you spend any more when I come back, I'll pay you that also. Listen, folks. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just saying, take your hamburger money that you eat 2 or 3 hamburgers a week on and put that in a can somewhere, your hospitality can. And you'd be amazed if you'll save up a month how much money you'll have in that can that you can use to be a blessing to somebody in the church. And have them over. Spend a little time. You say, well, what if I can't save too much? Well, then take them out for ice cream. If you can't do that, then listen, take them over here to Lincoln Square and sit around the fountain and just talk. How about that? Just be hospitable. Be friendly. Be kind. You see, he took care that he... So he was involved emotionally. He was involved physically. He was involved financially. Listen now, he was involved spiritually. Because he said, when I come again. When I come again. Did you notice that Jesus healed Simon the leper and then showed up at his house again? Did you notice that he showed up and when Zacchaeus met him in a sycamore tree, he said, listen, I think we need to go to your house. And he went to the house. Went to Lazarus. Listen, after he raised Lazarus from the dead, he showed up at Lazarus' house again. Why? That's hospitality, folks. That's what it is. It's something that goes beyond salvation. Now, look down if you would. Here's the question. Verse 36. After Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, he says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor? Listen, you see that neighbor right there? That's folksy. That's neighborly. That's hospitality. He said, which one of the three do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then, listen out, Jesus said unto him, what did he tell him to go do? He says, no, you go out and be hospitable. He says, this is what hospitality is. He says, no, you go out, see the need. You go out, get involved, feel the need. You go out, take care of the need. You see, Jesus asked that million-dollar question, which one was neighbor to him that fell among thieves? And he says, all right, now you go do likewise. Listen, Jesus showed us hospitality. You know what he's telling us today, church? Now go do likewise. You need to spend time in the home of some lepers. You need to spend time with some people in the home of people or invite them over, people that don't want to spend time with them. Nobody wanted to invite the leper over. Nobody wanted to invite Zacchaeus over, the tax collector. Well, did you notice the hospitality of the Samaritan? Let's roll over to an Old Testament example, and I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 4. Go to 2 Kings chapter 4. And let's look at another one. 2 Kings chapter number 4. And let's look in verse number 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. I told you, every time there's hospitality, there's food involved. Hey, the scripture's consistent. Jesus involved food. Here's food again. He said, ain't much, it's just bread. Yeah, but it's food, right? And so it was that as oft as he, that's Elisha, passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Listen, she wasn't just showing hospitality one time. She showed hospitality every time he came into town. And she said unto her husband, wait a minute, this thing is really fixing to go further. Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Wait a minute, now this hospitality has really gone overboard. These people really gotten involved. They not only fed Elisha, but because he passed through their area so often, they said, hey, let's build him a prophet's chamber. You ever wonder where that term came from? That's where it came from, right there. They said, let's build him a little chamber. Let's build a room. Listen now, they didn't build him some little shanty shack a mile away. They built it and attached it to their own home. You see that? And did you notice that it says, let's build him a little chamber, and then, listen, they built it at their own expense. They furnished it at their own expense. That's hospitality. Now, folks, I'm going to say something again right here. Do you know the church is not liable to sponsor every time you want to be nice to somebody? You ought to do it out of your own pocket. You ought to do it because the Spirit of God moves you. Do you know there's not a budget item set aside for hospitality as far as so that you can divvy into it? God says you do it at your own expense. You do it as God moves you to do so. Listen, this Shunammite man and woman, what did they do? What they did is they not only fed him, but they built him a place to stay. They allowed him to come and stay in their home. You see, they opened their home up. They fed Elisha meals. They built him a room on the side of their own house. They paid for it and furnished it for him. You see, let me ask you something. Does hospitality pay off? Does it pay off to be hospitable? Well, let's see if it paid off for them. Because when they showed hospitality to Elisha, he asked them, "What do you want me to do for y'all? What do you want God to do for you?" And they're like, "Well, you know, we don't really know exactly. We didn't do this for gain." And listen, Elisha's associate Gehazi spoke up in verse 14 and said, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband's old." In other words, he said, "Well, she didn't have any kids." He said, that might be just exactly what we ought to do here. And so he calls her to him and he blesses her. And in verse 16, he tells her that she's going to bear a child. And listen, she's so amazed. She said, "Do not lie unto me to thine handmaid." She said, "I'm barren." But in verse 17, the scripture says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life." Let me ask you this. You know where it all started? It started with hospitality. That boy was born out of hospitality. So did hospitality pay off for her? Absolutely. Let me ask you this. Did it pay off for the Samaritan? I promise you it did. You see, what I'm saying to you, church, is that hospitality, remember, is receiving and caring whether there is any rewards involved. But you and I both know God always rewards. He always rewards. And it paid off. That Shunammite woman was barren and was blessed by God with a child. But wait a minute. The blessings aren't over for her hospitality yet. Because she gave birth to that boy and he grew up. And one day he said, "Oh, I got a headache." They took him in. He fainted. They took him in and he died. And listen, you know what the Shunammite woman did? She said, "Now, why would the man of God give me a child only for him to die?" So she goes and finds Elisha. And listen, go read the story. I don't have time to read it. But she goes to him and he says, "Is all well with thee?" You know what her answer was? "It is well. It's well." Wait a minute, she just lost her son. How can she say everything's well? Because she knew, let me tell you something. She had shown some hospitality to the man of God. He gave her the son, and she knew, listen, he didn't give her that son for him to die at a young age. So she went to him, and she cried out to him, and I want you to look at this. I want you to look, the boy fell sick. He was, when he grown, his mama saddled up, rode up, went and got the man of God. And I want you to notice this, if you would. And look over in verse number 34. "And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, 'Call the Shunammite.' So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, 'Take up thy son.'" Let me ask you this. Did hospitality pay off? Sure did. She not only got rewarded with a son, but she also got rewarded by his resurrection. Now, God, it may not be that drastic in your life, but you know what? I promise you, if we'll extend hospitality, God always rewards. God always rewards for those who care for his own. You say, what difference do you think hospitality made in the life of the man in Luke 10 who fell among thieves? What difference do you think hospitality made in his life? You think when he woke up in that inn, he thought, "Man, what am I doing here? I'm bandaged up. Who did this?" The inn said, "Oh, it was that Samaritan guy." "A Samaritan? Yeah, he's the one who took care of you. And matter of fact, you've been here several days. He's paid for your room for every single day that you've been here." You think that might have changed that old boy's attitude? Probably did. Did it pay off for the Shunammite family? Absolutely it did. Do you think that it might have solidified their faith in Christianity? Or you think it might have solidified their faith for the love of God? Do you think it might have created a bond or met a need of someone who needed encouragement? Listen, hospitality is a bonding agent between people that will extend hospitality to those in need. You see, the simple truth of the matter is this, church, that hospitality is allowing God to love people and minister to people through you, listen now, at His expense. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I thought you said hospitality is going to cost me. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same meat or measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You know, if you'll be hospitable to people, God will finance it. You say, but I don't have any money. You ever thought about getting on your knees and say, Lord, I sure would love to invite this family. Oh, I sure would love to be a blessing to them. Would you supply the money? Okay, get ready. Because if you want to extend hospitality, God will finance it. You see, all He is looking for those who want to develop the character of hospitality. God is willing to promote it. He's willing to bless it. He's willing to finance it. Oh, listen, He's willing to expand it throughout the church as well. You see, a strong church is a hospitable church. And hospitality doesn't save anyone or restore anyone to fellowship with Christ, but it sure can encourage it. You see, a stagnant church is a selfish church. A church full of people who look only on their own benefits and who are unsociable and unfriendly, and it will soon be out of business for Christ, and they might as well change the name to Ichabod. Now, let me give you just a couple of things to think about, and I'm done. Here it is. I want to say, first of all, I want to talk to you just for a moment about private hospitality. Private hospitality. What is that, preacher? That's inviting people into your home. That's inviting people to come into your home and look for people who are in need and look for new families in the church, look for visiting families in the church. You say, well, preacher, I don't know them. Well, guess what? Hospitality would be a great way to get to know them, wouldn't it? It's a way to get to know them. Oh, by the way, if you're going to invite them to your home, be scriptural about it. Have something to eat. Hey, that's Bible, folks. Check me out. Almost without exception, every time there was hospitality involved, food was involved. You say, well, I'm going to be real scripture. I'm just going to have bread. It meant more, folks, than just bread. Okay, there was food involved here. But there can be private hospitality. You can invite people over. You know, when you go read about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 in verse number 20, here's what it said in verse 20. It says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. You know what made her virtuous? You know the principle there? What made her virtuous is that she saw the need, and then she felt the need, and then she took care of the need. You see, folks, what we've got to do is there can be private hospitality. We can invite people into our home. Hey, listen, that's what the Good Samaritan did. He took that guy, put him on his own beast, and put him in his own private room and paid for it. There can be private hospitality. So we can invite people to our home. Let me tell you something else we can do. You can display hospitality privately through an anonymous gift to someone. Amen. You see, remember the Pharisees? They always wanted people to know that they were doing something for someone. That's not hospitality. Hospitality can be done in a private manner, which can be an anonymous gift. Do you know that there might be a great need that exists in this auditorium tonight? And it could be taken care of anonymously through private hospitality? You see, we can invite people in our home. We can give an anonymous gift. Or listen, we can have a joint family outing. How about two or three families going in together and everybody brings something? That would be okay, wouldn't it? That way everybody's not out a bunch of money and you can have a great time. And listen, if you're going to have a joint outing and you're going to invite people from church, be organized. All right, be organized enough to when the people get there and they get to your home that, listen, there's some semblance of organization. Instead of when they get there, you ask them, what would y'all like to eat? Do y'all want to play any games? What do y'all want to do? They're going to say, leave. You know what? If you're going to put something together, make sure it's organized. That's part of hospitality. That's making sure things are happening. Listen, I just said there's private hospitality. The second thing I want to share with you is public hospitality. There's a private hospitality where you can invite people into your home, or you can give anonymously, or there can be a joint family outing, a picnic at the park, whatever it may be. But then there can be public hospitality. That's how the Shunammite woman ministered. You reckon when they were building an additional room onto their house? You reckon there's some of the neighbors came over and said, hey, I don't mean to be nosy, but why ain't y'all building an extra room? Y'all ain't even got any kids. Who's this extra room for? Oh, it's not for any extra kids. It's for the preacher. It's for the preacher. What for? Well, just because we want to be a blessing. And at their own expense, they built a chamber. At their own expense, they furnished it. At their own expense, they fed him. But they got rewarded. God rewarded them because of it. There was public hospitality. You see, church, in this church right here, we have all types of means of public hospitality. We got food groups that ladies can get involved in. You say, we do? Yeah. You know, when people go to the hospital, that we have food groups. Ladies go in the hospital. We have food groups that supply a couple of meals to be a blessing, to be hospitable to them. We have food groups that people can get involved. We have visiting teams that can visit hospitals and shut-ins and the elderly. Why? Just to be hospitable. Just to go in and let them know that they're not forgotten. And then there's taking the initiative to care for the widows. Amen. You know, our church, over the last 2 or 3 years, and our church has really been inundated with ladies in our church who lost their husbands. And their widow ladies. And I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that probably most of them probably don't know how to fix a faucet. Most of them probably don't know how to fix the dishwasher, or may not can unplunge the sink or the toilet. You see, there is public hospitality. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass our widow ladies here, but I just wonder how many of our families have even contacted any of these widow ladies in the last month and just said, hey, listen, is there anything you need? Need the yard mowed? Anything not working? Is there sinks that may be dripping? Anything going on? Is there anything that I can be a blessing to help? And you don't get on the phone and say, listen, if you'll go buy all the material, I'll come do it. How about you go buy the material and you do it? You see, what I'm saying is, folks, there is public hospitality. You say, well, how does that come about? You gotta know who these folks are so that you can see their need, you can feel their need, and then take care of the need. So we have all types of ministries in the church for public hospitality. And then the last thing, I want you to turn to Matthew 25, and this is it. I want to show you for just a moment about the profitability of hospitality. Well, that's a lot of blah, 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 and there it is. The profitability of hospitality. Matthew 25, I use this quite often. And I know the context, but there's a great truth and principle that can be taught here. I just want to say, church, that hospitality is Christianity. Christianity is private in relationship, but public in ministry. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 35, Jesus said, for I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Stop. Remember Hebrews 13, where it talked about entertaining angels unaware? You see, a person doesn't have to walk around with a neon sign around their neck saying, I am in need. We ought to search out for those needs. You see, Jesus said then in verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Sounds to me like hospitality is next to the heart of God. Sounds to me like hospitality is one of the elements, folks, that causes the harvest to begin within the local church. I'll say it again. A strong church is a hospitable church. A stagnant church is a selfish church. And folks, let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but I have no intentions under this watch for our church to be stagnant. That means, how do we get involved? If you can't do something privately, get involved in the public hospitality. But you know, I found out that most of us, if we'll save a little bit, we can also get involved in the private hospitality part as well. I don't know how much money most of us spend on just little things, snacks. Well, I'm going to really touch a sacred cow here. I wonder how many of us stop at QT or racetrack and get those 69-cent, 49-cent drinks. You know, if we'd cut that out about three or four times a week and put that money in a can, you'd be amazed at how much money you can save. You say, what are you doing? What are you trying to tell us, preacher? I'm talking about being hospitable. You see, I got saved, but it was the hospitality that caused the harvest to come about. It was the hospitality that advanced my Christianity in growth in Christ, that led me into service, because it was the hospitality that connected me with other families in the church. Can I encourage you tonight, church? Be hospitable. Look for ways to reach out to people in our church, new families, visiting families, widows, people that you know are going through a rough time. You don't have to call and say, listen, y'all need anything? Just do it. If God laid it on your heart to do it, do it. I promise you, there's a need there, and the generosity of hospitality can be a great harvest in their heart and life. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved, no question about it, I'm a Christian? I want you to lift your hand way up high, say, that's me, I'm a Christian. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, thank you for the blessings of this day. And Father, my desire is to be a hospitable Christian. To be a Christian, Lord, that is inviting both in a private hospitality way and a public hospitality way. Because, Lord, there is so much profit in hospitality. And by the way, when we do it as unto the Lord. And so, Father, I pray that we would get out of our comfort zone a little bit and extend ourselves beyond our ways and beyond what we are involved in now, and reach out in this area of hospitality. We might show the love of Christ. It's more than friendship. It's more than just kindness. It's more than respect. It's more than charity. It's action. It's receiving. It's caring, whether there's any reward involved at all. Would you move on our heart to pick up that ministry as an individual? Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder if there might be anyone here tonight that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know for sure if I died.